On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
And I am absolutely delighted to tell you, we do have a beautiful pear tree, sort of, in the studio. It's actually a bit of lavender with white flowering and some pears plopped into the bottom of the pot, but it will have to suffice for day. I thought we could start by making our own little snowflake decorations here in the studio. So in front of you guys, you should have some paper and some scissors, and we're going to cut them all up, a bit like school, actually, and making paper chains. So, Hugh, you're a physicist. How do snowflakes form?
Snow is made of water, and water, molecule H2O, has an oxygen with two hydrogens. And the angle between the hydrogen atoms is about 120 degrees, but it's only approximately 120 degrees. Isn't that right, Ellen?
Yeah, it's actually about 110 degrees, which is possibly why no two snowflakes look exactly the same.
I was going to say, does that matter, the angle? Is that what causes them to be like fingerprints and be completely individual?
I think the old idea was that it was the hydrogen bond angle that determined the hexagonal shape, but because the hydrogen bond angle doesn't make a hexagon, we've got to think of some other reason why they come out like that shape.
But you can kind of think of it that this 120-degree angle, it's like the angle you get in a boomerang. So you can imagine three boomerangs, connect them together, makes this kind of hexagon shape. And that's the kind of base building block of a water crystal. And if you imagine drawing a snowflake, you might start by drawing three intersecting lines like an asterisk. And then at the end of each line, you might draw another asterisk, and then at the end of each of those little lines, you can draw another asterisk, and at the end of each other line, you keep on adding.
You just keep going forever and ever.
And if you ask five different people to draw using those instructions, you're going to get five different snowflakes because they're going to draw their asterisks at randomly different places. So every snowflake's going to look different.
But why do they stop growing? Is there a moment when they stop growing?
Well, the water is coming out of the atmosphere, and they'll only grow when there's water vapor in the atmosphere around the snowflake. And once the snowflake has formed and the air is just a little bit drier around, snowflakes need very particular conditions to grow in. And once those conditions don't exist anymore, they stop growing.
Yeah, I suppose it's hoping for a white Christmas this year. What do you reckon?
Well, I think the weather forecast is a bit blustery for Christmas, I think.
I haven't actually looked. I don't know. I always want a white Christmas because I always want to go out sleighing. And I remember thinking we did this every year when I was a kid, but actually that never seems to happen anymore.
Well, so in Australia,
I thought climate change was supposed to be happening. I mean, why isn't there any snow?
Well, you could do what you do in Australia at Christmas time because it doesn't snow then. So we make snow out of mashed potato.
How much mashed potato do you need?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, that must be a colossal amount of potato. So, Amy, you're a psychologist, and I'm wondering whether you can take us through what makes a really good-looking snowflake, because I want to win this competition. So I haven't started cutting it, actually, so I might start now.
Well, I think, as we've heard about how they grow and crystallise, and the hydrogen bonds, they're able to form a sort of hexagonal shape. And hexagons are quite prevalent in nature, and symmetricality obviously is something we're quite in tune with as humans.
Why are we particularly fond of...
I think it's because there's some mathematical reasoning behind hexagons. When they fit together, you're maximising your area but minimising your parameter. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a beehive and you're making honeycomb, it's more energetically favourable for the bees to make hexagonal shapes by reducing their parameter but maximising their area.
So. Okay, so I want something as symmetrical as possible, basically.
That's what you
should
go with.
And that's how I'm going to be onto a winner.
Symmetrical and hexagons, I think that's where you should start off from.
It's a bit late for me now. I should have known that 5 minutes ago.
And Alan, very briefly, I've heard that all snowflakes are different, just like a fingerprint. Is this true?
Probably. I think it must have been about 100 years ago, a couple of Canadian scientists collected snowflakes and photographed them, and they published books containing thousands of snowflake photographs, no two of which are alike.
Wow, and they had to trawl through every single one of them to identify the fact they're right.
But then I remember this was an exam question in Crystallography 101, which said, the average snowflake is less symmetrical than the average photograph of a snowflake. And I think there may be a lot of selection bias in what actually goes into a photograph of a snowflake.
Okay, I haven't... Mine's not gone very well. I've only actually barely just cut a hexagon, so I don't think... Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive, some amazing
results here.
Now, you can listen to the programme as we broadcast live. It's 6pm British time on Sundays. The URL is www.nakedscientist.com/player. Now, we put the photos up on Facebook with all our snowflakes for you to vote. We'll be hearing the results of that later on in the programme.